You might feel differently when I start singing. All right, here's a song you all know really well. We played this a lot last year, and I've gotten a bunch of requests to sing it again. Will you stand and sing with us, World Outside Your Window? There's a world outside your window. I'm sorry, we're going to do it again, because I don't know the words. There's a song that stirs the spirit, and it calls the heart to life. It's an anthem in the making. Can you feel it start to rise? Can you hear the generations getting louder over time? Every son and every daughter singing out into the night. It's not time to be silent. Don't you dare hide your light. There's a world outside your window, so don't let it pass you by. Lift your hands to the heavens. Lift your voice to the sky. Praise the Lord of all creation. Let His name be lifted high. Sing it, oh. From the palace to the streets, I can feel that drumbeat pulsing, and it's calling you and me. I can hear the world awaken, oh, the sound is heavenly. Every tribe and every nation singing Jesus, I believe. It's not time to be silent, don't you dare hide your light. There's a world outside your window, so don't let it pass you by. Lift your hands to the heavens, lift your voice to the sky. Praise the Lord of all creation, let His name be lifted high. Sing it, strongholds break in the blink of an eye. Death and all our sin nowhere in sight. For the Lord, He is alive. See the lost return from the dead of the night. Every captive free, every chain left behind. Have you ever seen such a beautiful sight? All the world coming alive. See the world light up one heart at a time. See the strongholds break in a blink of an eye. Death and all our sin nowhere in sight. Well, the Lord, He is alive. See the lost return from the dead of the night. Every captive free, every chain left behind. Have you ever seen such a beautiful sight? All the world coming alive, singing, oh. Silent, don't you dare hide your light. There's a world outside your window, so don't let it pass you by. Lift your hands to the heavens, lift your voice to the sky. Praise the Lord of all creation, let His name be lifted high. Sing it,
that song. You know that? That'll wake you up in the morning, won't it? Amen. Our scripture verse reading this morning is found in Acts chapter 1. I heard a little story about this, and I asked Seth if I should share it, and he agreed.
Yep.
Okay? I don't know if you like humor, but I like a little bit of humor. Pastor, I think you do too. But Theophilus is mentioned in verse 1. Do you know how Theophilus got his name? When he was born, his mother looked at him and said, "That's Theophilus, looking child I ever saw in my life." Okay. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 this morning. Listen to what the Word of God says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Mm. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of that the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Praise God. Father, it is a great privilege again to be in your house. It is a great privilege to live in this day and hour when we are equipped with your Holy Spirit that you sent. And when we invite you into our hearts, you take up residence within us. And your word says, greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. And you help us, Father, as we read your word, study your word, and apply your word to our lives, that we might be that witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Father, we thank you that we have that privilege in you. Bless our time together, Lord Jesus, this morning as we worship you in song, in praise, Lord Jesus. May you be exalted, for your word says if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. And Father, we desire that others would come to know you as Lord and Savior as we do. We commit this service into your hands, Lord Jesus. Let us leave different than we came by the power of your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray these wonderful things. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
The next song we're going to sing is, I think, about 20 years old. But I had just heard it for the first time a couple of months ago, and we've been working on it. So we're all going to kind of sing it together here as best we can. And, you know, as we're witnessing, we're going to witness just like we are today with a lot of smiles on our faces, happy to be in the family of God, knowing that he's given us his law, he's given us redemption, and he gives us the promise of his return. So let's sing about it. We delight in the love of your word.
Isaac from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah. Lift our eyes to the cloud. We'll lift our eyes to the cloud and the flame. Lord, you guide our steps and restore us again. The nations of men will rejoice in the God of the wilderness. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah.
Let's sing that chorus again.
We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One last time.
Hallelujah.
Nice song, right? If you were here a few weeks ago, you might have heard this song introduced. And so I hope you'll sing along as you feel comfortable.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. See is the mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There is nothing to fear now, for I am safe. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet and I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. With my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle begins.
Amen. You may be seated this morning, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Al. The one that we have just finished singing about, the one we've been singing about all morning, and in this precious hymn, the one who is called our precious Savior, the one who is called our refuge, the one who is called our friend, the one in whose arms we take it to, the one who is our shield, the one who in whom we find solace, just happens to be the risen, resurrected Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know how on Easter Sunday we start off with, you know, He is risen, He is risen, He is risen.
Yeah.
Okay. Say, can we do it again? But I'm just going to add a little qualifying word in there. So play along with me here, okay? He is still risen.
He is still risen indeed.
He is still risen.
He is still risen.
He is still risen. Amen. In the scripture reading this morning, we read about that a bit, didn't we? And He continued to appear to them. He did so over a period of time. And you just got to love that. The resurrection text of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because that one tells us that He appeared. It's the only place we find it. I mean, how much poorer would we be did we not know this? He appeared to 500 people all at one time also. We don't know when that happened, but we do read that in Scripture. And I often wonder, how many more appearances maybe there were, I don't know, that are just not recorded for us. What we do know with absolute certainty are the record of those where He did appear. And the point being is our Jesus is still alive today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this one, well, He just happens to be coming back too.
Amen.
Gentlemen, would you please join me up front? Let's continue to worship Him at this time. We're going to do so now with the giving of our gifts, the bringing forth of our tithes and our offerings. And we're going to worship Him in this very thankful, very tangible way. Lord, receive the gifts of the saints today. Let's pray together. And the gentleman will come around with the offering plates. And as you are laying your gifts in that plate, worship Him. Oh, gracious Lord, with thankful hearts, we present our gifts to You this day, Lord. Thank You that You first gave to us. Thank You for our precious, precious Lord Jesus. We are gathered today in this place, this holy place, this holy sanctuary, to worship You. And Lord, everything we do this hour is Christ-focused in every possible way. And what we do right now is the very same. We will take up our gifts. We will give them to You. We will do so with joy, with hearts of thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that You would bless these families for their joyous gifts. Some, I have no doubt, for their sacrificial gifts. Lord, bless them richly, I pray. Bless these gifts. May they be used for kingdom work and kingdom purposes until that day when we will see You, when faith turns into sight. Oh, Lord, bless these gifts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jennifer, thank you, dear. All right, Ben and Jack, you guys are our special music today. You ready? All right, they're right there. Thank you, guys. Gentlemen, thank you so much for blessing us today. Heather, thank you for training the next generation of our church musicians.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Casey and John, thank you guys for investing in them. You guys are doing good work. Thank you. What a blessing that is to us. Hey, friends, you have your copy of our Father's Word. I trust that you do. The New Testament letter of 2 Thessalonians. Let's pick up there. It's been several weeks since we have been found in this little New Testament letter of only three very brief chapters. We're going to pick up this morning in chapter 3, and we're going to start working our way towards the conclusion of our study that we began during the winter months. So we'll pick up in chapter 3, verse 1 in just a moment. Would you join me in just a season of prayer now as we come into the presence of our Lord with His Word before us. And let's see what He has to say to us today. Our very precious Redeemer, we draw into Your presence this day because of the amazing grace that You have extended to us. You have called us by name. You have adopted us into Your precious family. And You have given to us an inspired word. The text of Scripture that will never ever lead us away, but will always fully reveal God sent truth. Lord, I pray that as we are found within its pages and its verses this day, I pray, Lord, that for all of us present, we would have attentive hearts and minds to the proclamation of the gospel and the word of God and to the sacred text. Father, I pray that the thoughts of maybe events of later this day we would set aside just for a while, and now that we would be fully tuned in, solely focused on that which you have to reveal to us today, Lord. I ask that you would bless richly this time of study that we have in this precious, precious book, the Holy Scripture, the Word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, they are images that are very powerful. Some of the images are actually heartbreaking. Some are utterly disturbing. Yet at the same time, other images are very inspiring, and they are certainly very memorable. At the end of the month of February, when the images of war began to make its way to our television sets in our homes, and I believe that today, if I'm not mistaken, is day 60 when this sad event began. And we have witnessed on our television screens a people literally fighting for their very lives in unison, with determination, with resolve, and with fortitude. A people who are fighting for their very lives, their way of life, their futures, the future of their children, the future of their nation, and the future of their freedoms. And we saw the images of ordinary people who took up the role of soldiers and defenders. These were people who were once teachers and engineers, architects and accountants, shop owners and students. And they are now soldiers and protectors of their country. Even their country's president removed his tie and his suit coat and his dress shirt, and he donned on a t-shirt and a hoodie. And he also would join the fight and lead the way. It was going to be, they know, it must be, in this battle that is before them, all hands on deck. The situation required it. The situation demands it. The very same thing can be said about another battle, a different kind of battle for sure, but a battle nonetheless, and is that of doing ministry together with each other in these days in which we live. Chuck Swindoll, in his commentary on the book of 2 Thessalonians, writes this. He says, pastors and flocks must be involved in ministry together. Ministry is not a do-it-yourself project, nor is it a professionals-only career. It is an all-hands-on-deck team effort. Just as we must all pray together and suffer together and worship together, we must all minister together. Of course, each person has a unique part to play. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, join me in the text, if you will. Let's take a look at one of those parts of ministry with all hands on deck. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 begins like this. Finally, brothers, pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened amongst you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and he will guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Let's just stop there for today. We know up to this point that the primary purpose that we even have this little New Testament letter tucked into our Bibles today, the purpose largely behind it, was the Apostle Paul needed to pick up his pen to address this church because there was a great area of concern in his heart as it related to their confusion and their misunderstanding about some future things, eschatological events. You see, there had arisen, and this is not new to you, we've talked about this before, some erroneous errors had been rising up within this young infant church. They were not old in the Lord at all whatsoever. They were young believers for sure. Wrong teaching had arisen amongst them. Some were saying that the reason that they were suffering the persecutions they were was because they were in the day of the Lord. And Paul wants to write them to let them know, no, you are not in the day of the Lord. These will be the sufferings and the persecutions that will come upon you and really all subsequent generations because you are a Christ follower. Expect that persecution. Expect that opposition. Expect that resistance. And we see it today also, 2,000 years hence. And apparently there had also been some false teaching. Somebody was teaching, and apparently what we can see from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is that there was even this pseudo-letter. Something had been written, and someone had given the impression that this was from Paul. And, of course, that was falsehood. So Paul will write to these young believers in Christ, and he will tell them about their persecutions and their sufferings, and he will encourage them to remain steadfast, to stay in Christ, to move forward, to move on. And with regards to the day of the Lord, no, he wants them to know, you are not in the day of the Lord. A number of things have to happen before the day of the Lord starts. One of them is going to have to be the revelation of, or the exposure of, or the coming of, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition. We refer to him as the Antichrist figure. Number of things have to happen before the day of the Lord comes upon them, comes upon us. So we know that thus far. And up to this point, that's what we have seen to this point. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. Paul begins, he begins the chapter by saying, finally, brothers. When you see that little word, and it appears in several of Paul's letters, you know that he is now transitioning his remarks to something else. This is a key structural marker within the text. Finally, Paul is now going to be moving from doctrine to now application. He's now going to go from exhortation to an instruction. Now to what do we do with the information I've just given to you? It's a key structural marker in the text. It would be equivalent to Pastor Rick saying, all right, at the somewhere near the conclusion of the message, let's talk about our takeaways. Let's talk about some application from the text. Paul says, finally. And what does he ask for? What does he say? He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. And then he asks two things specifically with regards to their prayer. Number one, that the word of God may speed ahead and be honored, like it happened amongst you. And then secondly, verse 2, and that we would be delivered from wicked and evil men. That is his prayer request. So he says, pray for us. And I take it when he says pray for us, he is referring to not only himself, but those who are mentioned at the beginning of the letter, which would also include Timothy and Silas. Thessalonians, would you please remember us in your prayers? That's what he asks of them. That the word of God would spread powerfully, effectively. At the end of 2nd, actually throughout the letter, but last time we were together, we were looking at the end of chapter 2, and there we see Paul praying for them, that the Father and the Son would comfort them, would strengthen their hearts, and now he requests prayer for himself. All to say, in other words, we need to be praying for each other, friends. This is all hands on deck. This morning, as we were singing the final chorus, I was impressed by some of the descriptive words that we sang together. We sang words like fight, words like battle. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. Folks, I'm sure you know and you have seen, and I probably do not need to rehearse for you, in light of the days in which we are living today, we need to be a people and a congregation of prayer. If this old world has not driven you to your knees yet, believe me, take my word on this, it will. We need to be in prayer for one another. The great apostle Paul puts forth this urgent request. I need your prayers. Now, think about this with me for just a moment. Here we have the great apostle Paul, this brilliant apologist for the Christian faith, this premier missiologist and church planter. This man who was absolutely without equal as it related to being an effective minister for God and the Christian faith. His natural abilities were immense. He was the recipient of the absolute finest of rabbinical educations. He was absolutely brilliant. He was logical. He was a persuasive thinker. An effective and powerful communicator. He was spiritually perceptive. He was a church planter with much experience in missions. But none of those things stood alone to make him effective in who he was and what he did. Listen to what he wrote to the ancient church of Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29 says, I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily in me. The work I do, Paul says, is according to the power of God in me. It is not my own power. It is not my own resources. It is him working through me. Is that not also true for us today? How much poorer we would be, how inadequate we would be if it were not for the power of the Spirit of God working within us. Paul places absolutely no confidence in the flesh. And he knew that if the ministry was going to have any success at all whatsoever, if he would enjoy any success, it would be because of the power of God at work in his life. And the same is true for us today. It is God's power that energizes his people. Paul had natural gifts. Incredible gifts, but supernatural impact is by the power of the Spirit of God alone. 2,000 years ago and to him and today. Listen to what Paul says, not only to the ancient Thessalonians. He asks church after church after church, would you please pray for me? Romans chapter 15. Listen to verses 30 through 32. As Paul draws near his concluding thoughts of the church at Rome, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I might be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Church at Rome, please pray for me. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The church of Ephesus, please pray for me, that whenever I open my mouth, the gospel would be heard, it would be heard clearly and powerfully and effectively. Colossians chapter 4, once again, the church of Colossae. Chapter 4, verse 3 of that book, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Did you see the recurring pattern? Pray for me, please. Please pray for me, that whenever I open my mouth, the gospel would come forth and that it would be clear to people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Brothers, pray for us. Philemon, verse 22. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, he says to Philemon, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Let me just throw one more out at you. 2 Corinthians 1:11. There are many more. I'm just giving you a smattering of them today. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Paul prays for the ancient Thessalonians. We see that several times. We've looked at those prayers before today. And now he says, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. All to say, dear friends, I brought you through all of that this morning simply to say this to you. I would greatly covet your prayers for myself and the ministry that we share with one another here. Prayers that whenever I open my mouth, the gospel could be heard, and it could land on ears that are receptive and will hear. As the Apostle Paul, whether it was the church at Corinth or Thessalonica or Colossae or Ephesus or Rome, I also would repeat his request. Please pray for me. One of my teachers in seminary, Dr. John Walford, wrote these words in his commentary on 2 Thessalonians. Dr. Walford says, the average layperson does not realize how much a minister of the gospel depends on the prayers of God's people. Whenever an evangelist or a Bible teacher attempts to expound the word of God, he writes, he is not only contending against the failure on the part of those who listen, but against the unseen powers of darkness. He is engaging in a cosmic spiritual war. That's what I'm doing today. All the powers of hell are arrayed against him. Whenever one tries to do something for the Lord, a spiritual battle ensues. In other words, dear friends, if we are doing God's work, God's way, with the authority of God's word, expect opposition. Expect resistance. Satan will be there to discourage us, to attempt to thwart our labors. And why? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities,
against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Yes, we wrestle, the scriptures tell us. We could use the imagery of the battle or the fight. It is spiritual warfare. We need to pray for one another because the work and the word that goes forth from this pulpit, or when we open our mouths as followers of Christ Jesus, is of eternal consequence. That is the work, that is the labor that we do. With regards to the prayer itself, secondly, I would say this, as it relates to Paul's request when he says, brothers, please pray for us. He asked that their prayers would be that the word of God would spread. Look at the text. And it would spread rapidly. His request was that the word of God would advance unhindered, resulting in the glory of God. And folks, I gotta tell you, I got to believe in my heart that one of the reasons Paul was so passionate about this is because he knew and he knows that the word of God changes lives. It is the Spirit of God working through the word of God that comes and invades an individual's lives. It revolutionizes their minds, their thinking, their hearts to think biblically and not to think what the world wants us to think. The word of God changes lives. It changed Paul's life. It changed my life. And I trust if you are here today and you wear the moniker of the Christ follower, it changed your life also. Jesus changes lives. The Spirit of God changes lives through the word of God. And the powers and the principalities of darkness in this evil world do not want us to have success. It is a spiritual battle. And Paul knows that the word of God, and now today we have the completed word of God in its totality, 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and from cover to cover, it is the word of God. And it changes lives. And Paul knew that. He says, pray for me that the word of God would spread rapidly, quickly, that it would be effective. Because we have eternity in our sights. If you are here today, friends, or if you are listening in on our live stream, or we'll catch it at another time, and you do not know this Jesus, I got to tell you, there's a different way to live. We don't have to live according to the standards and the prescriptions of the world. That system is void and it is bankrupt. And it's coming off the tracks. And it's unraveling like a cheap sweater right before our very eyes. This book, this volume, these truths will never lead us astray. The Word of God for today. Its truths were true 2,000 years ago. Its truths are true 3,000 years ago. They are true today. And then thirdly, Paul tells us that prayer is absolutely necessary because of the consequent opposition that will arise to us when the word of God moves forward. All to say, dear friends, expect opposition. Expect resistance. I know it's not popular to say, but it is the word of God because we are doing spiritual warfare every day, every day. Paul says in verse 2 that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. Your version, mine included, I believe most of the versions that you folks hold today will add the little word men in there, okay? That word is not in the New Testament text. It just says wicked and evil. Obviously, those who follow the pattern of the world, the men, the women who do that, would then be wicked and evil men, women. But the text does not have the word men in it. It says that we would be delivered from evil. Evil exists out there. Paul is acquainted with it. He's acquainted with the resistance and the opposition to it. A very quick skimming of the book of Acts will reveal to you what happened when the word of God moves forward. Flip backwards to the book of Acts with me, if you will. Acts chapter 13. Let me give you a very, very small smattering of what this looks like. Acts chapter 13. Find verse 44 when you get there. This is Paul's first missionary journey. He is in Pisidian Antioch. And Dr. Luke records these four words for us here. Tells us of Paul's recollections of his first missionary journey. Verse 44 says, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. What comes next? Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And they began to contradict what Paul had spoken, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. He's talking to Jews now, okay? The word of God is powerful. It is effective. It goes to the Jew and then to the Greek. So they go to the Jew. Verse 46, and Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly, saying, it was necessary the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord had commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the verse 49, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Don't miss verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium. The word of the Lord is spreading. Persecution, rejection, and resistance is on its uprising. When you are doing the work of the Lord and you are speaking truth, and ever more so today, ever more so in the post-Christian, post-modern culture in which we live today, expect opposition. But friends, be encouraged because you are doing the work of the Lord. The Thessalonians, they would have known about this from personal experience. Go over a page or two. Go over to Acts chapter 17. This is when the word originally came to the Thessalonians. This is their story. Acts 17, that's the account of when the gospel visited them. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom. On three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. And, of course, what is his proclamation? Okay, this is his message, verse 3. We talked about this last week on Easter Sunday. Explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. And saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. That was the central core of his preaching. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All throughout the book of Acts, that is the focus. Death, resurrection. That is our story. Verse 4, some of them were persuaded. Praise the Lord. And they joined Paul and Silas. As did many of the... As did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous and taking some of the wicked men of the rabble. Just imagine what they looked like. They formed a mob. They set the city in an uproar and they attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out of the crowd. The Thessalonians were well aware of what rejection and opposition and resistance to the gospel looks like. I'll give you one more, very quickly. Turn over a page to Acts chapter 18. This will be the last one. There are many more, but this will be the last one. Okay? But let me give you a little context here. If you just look at Acts 17 and 18 before you, you see that Paul went from Thessalonica, went to Berea, he then would travel to Athens, he would spend some time there, and then he made his way to Corinth. So that was his travel. So he's in Thessalonica, and by the time we get to Acts 18, he's in Corinth, okay? We do know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 that Paul he's concerned about these young believers in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says he sends Timothy back to them. Go back, check in on them. They're so young. They're new believers. Persecution is arising there. Paul's losing sleep over this matter. Go back, Timothy. Go back to Thessalonica. Timothy does. And as Timothy goes back, checks up on them, encourages them, and he travels back now to Paul. Paul has now moved on to Corinth. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 18. So Timothy is going to come back. He's going to come back with a good report. Okay. But this is what I want you to see, Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently came from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them because he was of the same trade. He stayed with them and he worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. We see that over and over again, don't we? And he tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. Look at verse 5. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Macedonia is what? They just come back from Thessalonica. Thessalonica is in Macedonia. Okay, so they come back. They catch up with Paul again. Paul is occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. Verse 6. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and he said to them, "Your blood be on your own head. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Opposition, resistance. It was there 2,000 years ago. It is there today also. So in this passage of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, "Would you please pray for us? And would you pray for us that when we open our mouths, the gospel would go forth, that it would be understood, that it would speed along quickly, and that we would be delivered from evil men." He says, because not all have faith. The Thessalonians have faith, but he says, but not all are like that. The Thessalonians have faith. They came to Christ. They heard the word of God, but not all do. As it relates to prayer and the things of Jesus, and especially in the days in which we live today, folks, this is an all-hands-on-deck effort. Ministry, prayer, all hands on deck. Because we also know, because there is going to be resistance, there's going to be opposition to the truth. Folks, we need to not only pray with and pray for one another. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be united in the opposing forces that are against us today. We pray for one another. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer of John chapter 17 that those who would follow his disciples, Lord, that they would be unified with each other. There would be a sense of unity amongst them. Folks, we are going against an opposition force today that is spiritual in nature, the powers of darkness. We absolutely must be in prayer for one another and move forward with a unified front with the gospel of Jesus Christ and who we are as a church family. The opposition out there is strong and it is powerful. And friends,
We need each other. And we need to be in prayer for each other and supporting each other and being kind to each other, being a blessing to each other in the midst of the spiritual battle that we wage today. Takeaways. When you hear that, often this is the sound I hear when I say takeaways. I probably should stop saying that. Takeaways, or as the great apostle Paul would say, finally. Number one, mutual prayer. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. Please don't make him just hollow words and say, brother, I'll pray for you this week. And we forget to do it. Pray for each other. Number two, I would say when praying, things to consider, that the word of God would have success and it would advance to his glory. Because this we do know, as it relates to eternal life and the gospel and the proclamation of his word and the preaching of his word, this is spiritual work. It is the work and the ministry of the Spirit of God to regenerate the heart. That's his work. No man cometh to the Father lest he be drawn. That's called prevenient grace. Did you think that you came to faith on your own? One day you made a decision, you know, I decided to receive Jesus as my Savior. Yeah. No, you did not. Your eyes were opened because of the grace of God. And you were drawn to him. Maybe that's part of our prayer. Lord, my loved ones, my neighbors, Lord, open their eyes to the truth. And that's why we say from this pulpit and from this church that salvation is totally a work of God. From beginning to end, to the drawing grace, to the saving grace, to the sanctifying grace, and then finally, when faith becomes sight, to the glorifying grace, salvation is totally a work of God, beginning to end. And this is a message for a different day, but that's why you could never lose your salvation. Because it wasn't yours to work for to begin with. It is totally, totally of the Spirit of God, beginning to end. Pray that the word would have success in advance. And number three, I would say, knowing that we are involved this day in the work of spiritual warfare, and knowing that our battle is against the powers and principalities of darkness, pray that the Lord would guide us, direct us, deliver us from that which is wicked and evil. There are many who would come against us today, who will come against me in the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll come against me and they'll come against this place because we do expository preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Beginning to end, one book at a time, one chapter at a time, one verse at a time, sometimes one word at a time. We expose the Word of God. Pray that we may have the victory. Because, folks, I got to tell you, when it comes to prayer, it really is all hands on deck. And the beautiful thing about prayer is it doesn't matter if it's the little child or the credentialed theologian with all kinds of alphabet soup after his name, when it comes time to prayer, we come before the altar of grace. Every one of us is on the same plane. Some of you may know Scripture more than others of you, but when it comes to prayer, the plane is even. We come to the throne of grace in prayer. The small child, the mature saint. And we present our requests and our intercessory investments before him.
for the work of eternity. And that's why I said today, friends, ministry today, it's all hands on deck. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we know that you are the one who has put us here for a time such as this. Our being and our existence in this place and in this time, in this century and in this year and in this month and on this day, we're here for a purpose. If our days have been extended, it's because you are the one who has done it. May we always live to the glory of thy great name. And Lord, may we be mutual prayers one for another, or burden our hearts unto this end. Lord, may we be faithful to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, refusing to compromise it, maybe to make others feel better or to, because it might not be the popular thing to say or do. Lord, protect us, I pray, from the wiles of wicked and evil in this present darkness. And Lord, may the light of Jesus Christ shine within us. May those about us see within us a winsomeness of the Christ follower, a joy that they are absent of, a thankful spirit in a culture of thanklessness. Oh Lord, work within us, I pray. May we be light in dark places. Lord, use this congregation, this day, this week, this year, to the glory of your name as your word goes forth. Lord, bless them richly, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. Say, would you find your hymnal with me one last time this morning before I let you go? And let's go to 433 together. Only has a couple of verses. It's short. Number 433, and let's dismiss with these words ringing in our ears today. It's 433. For those of you joining us at home, if you're still with us, the hymn is entitled Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand together. Let's worship. Friends, before I dismiss you today, very quick little reminder. Every Tuesday morning, 9:30, guess what we're doing here? We're praying together. If you do not have a commitment at that time, come pray for us. with us. Gracious Lord, dismiss your congregation today with your blessings. May they go forth, joyous hearts, thankful hearts, filled by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, may they go forth with boldness and courage and thanksgiving. And Lord, help us to love one another, to pray for one another, to be kind to one another, to think well of one another, to the glory of your name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day today in the Lord.